The past is history. The future, a mystery. Today is a gift. That is why we call it the present. Game 7, the two greatest words in yada, yada, yada. I just yada, yada over the best part. But what Game 6 means for Game 7, it's all on the line. Let's go.
Bill, you wrote a great column off that Knicks game way back when. Award-winning stuff. Congrats.
Some were ready to call the Boston Celtics done and break them up 5 days ago, 2 days ago. Some guaranteed the Heat's culture would never blow a 3-0 lead. Pressure points everywhere tonight, and it is thrilling. Everything that can apply to a Game 7 applies here. And then you add on the inconceivability of how Game 6 finished up. Miami's so close they could taste it. Derek White's season-saving putback. And everything that made it possible with the moments before it. But before we get to tonight, 3 hours from tip-off of Game 7, let's look back for a second. Bill Plaschke, how might Game 6 affect tonight's Game 7? Do you believe in carryover?
How can it not carry over, Tony? We're talking about it 2 days later. Everybody's talking about it 2 days later. The players have to be thinking about it 2 days later. The Heat were one tick from going to the NBA Finals. They were beaten on a hustle play, which is their kind of mantra. A hustle play beat them. They were beaten even though Jimmy Butler thought he had saved them. They were spent. They thought they had the game won. How does it not carry over? After the game, Jason Tatum said he's never looked forward to anything as much as he's looked forward to going back to Boston for Game 7. The city's going to be on fire. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be nuts. Yes, Game 6 will carry over. It'll be part of Game 7.
Frank Isola, do you believe in carryover?
Yeah, Bill, conveniently leaving out the part about Boston being 5-5 at home in the playoffs. For most teams, I would believe it. I don't believe for this team. My only thing about Miami, if you go back to that game, you know, that's an epic game, but that's a gut punch for them. But Jimmy Butler's sitting there saying one more stop. Well, Jimmy, if it's one stop, why aren't you trying to shut down Jason Tatum by yourself? And Eric Spoelstra, you're double-teaming Tatum, and you're leaving Derek White open to get that tap. And I know this, if the roles were reversed and Joe Mazzulla had done that, that would be his last bowl of clam chowder in Massachusetts. They would kick him right out of the city. So from that standpoint, they blew it. But Miami, the experience there, because of Eric Spoelstra and the toughness of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, I don't think the carryover will be the same as it was for Philadelphia when they blew it in the last 4 minutes of Game 6 in Philly in the second.
Okay, so you don't really believe carryover applies to your Courtney Cronin. I saw you shaking your head no when Frank was talking.
I'm a big believer in momentum and a big believer that it's hard to put the air back in the balloon after it's been let out. And this was a close loss for the Miami Heat in the final moments. It wasn't like the two blowouts in Game 4 and Game 5. And frankly, think about how defeating this is when the Celtics shot worse than a Miami team that was shooting pretty poorly in Game 6. They had a season-low 7 threes. Outside of Marcus Smart and Derek White, everybody else in the Celtics went 0-for-17 from three. The Heat had 7 more threes, 7 fewer turnovers, and they still end up losing in Game 6. And the amount of pressure that's on this Miami Heat team as heavy underdogs going to Boston, I know that Jimmy Butler likes to channel his Mark Messier and his Joe Namath, but maybe don't guarantee that you're going to win games because that only adds more unnecessary pressure onto this team than you already have.
Wow, it sounds like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you sound like this is a wrap. That Miami can't recover after what happened Saturday night, Courtney.
Strange how quickly things can change in sports, but yeah, I very much believe that.
And Kevin Blackstone.
Well, the way I look at the end of Game 6 is I look at Jimmy Butler and the fact that he had 24 points in that game, but he had 13 of those 24 in the last 5 minutes to give the Heat a one-point lead with 3 seconds to go, which unfortunately for the Heat allowed Derek to do what Derek did. So I look at the fact that if Jimmy Butler was held under wraps a little bit for a couple of games, that he got his mojo back. And he has found a way to pull this team through. And think about it. This is really, talk about mantra, this is the mantra of this whole Heat team. 44 wins on the season, 8 seed, lucky to be in the playoffs, continue to drag themselves to victory after victory, and now have this opportunity.
Wait, hold on a second. You view this as an opportunity. So you think the carryover from a Game 6 loss was that Miami
was close to winning? Absolutely, they were close to winning. Not only were they close to winning, you just pointed it out. They had it won up until a split second put back by Derek White. Which was a great play. But here's the other part of this, right? I mean, this is a team that really has outplayed the Celtics throughout this playoffs. When you look at field goal percentage, when you look at fewer turnovers, I mean, they just played a better game. And as Frank pointed out, their role players have even played
better. This is what I love about you, Professor Blackstone. This is our 21st year doing this show, and your takeaway from game six on a loss, that's like it's an all-time moment, right? I mean, whether you blame them for the loss or not, but it's a gut punch, and you're like, it's a good thing they lost because now they have the carryover. Plaschke, respond to that.
KB, you're making my point for me. You're saying they had the game won. That's it. They had the game won. They had it won. They had it snatched away from them. What happens after a gut punch? What does somebody do after a gut punch? They collapse. They fall on the floor. They don't get up. This was a gut punch they won't get up
from. I sold it back to you. The last time we saw a play like that in Miami, that's Ray Allen hitting that three in the NBA Finals. But remember, that game was in Miami. But to Kevin's point, how does Boston blow that lead late in the game? They're up 10 with under 4 minutes to go. They make so many mistakes, whether it's missing free throws. They gave Miami never should have had a lead. They did, and they were this close to eliminating Boston.
The last word.
We'll move on. The stakes tonight and history. A game seven on its own is history, but we've been aware of this 0-3-3-3 rarity for the last week. Bob Ryan telling us about 1951, Tony. The closest the team has ever come back to the greatest comeback ever. Tricky Dick McGuire. I wasn't even sure we had television back then.
Love that footage.
We're all the brothers.
So that's the add-on to the usual X factors, most important players, things learned through six games, adjustments, the pressure as history looks for someone to stare down and someone to blink. Frank, how do you think that factors into tonight? And what's the number one thing that decides tonight?
Well, do I think that Tatum and Brown are going to go 0-for-12 on threes again like they did in game six? No, I don't think Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler will go 9-for-37. Like they did in game six. To me, a big part of it is how will Miami be defended, or how will Jimmy Butler be defended by Boston? Because he seems to be able to draw fouls at will. Michael Jordan on his best day is not going to the free throw line 11 times in the last 351 of a close game like Jimmy Butler did. But the role players of Miami, they've been such a great story. Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson, the whole group of them, Max Strus, how will they play on the road, knowing that you're 48 minutes away from infamy, maybe having the worst collapse in NBA history? It'll come down to those role players on Miami.
Kevin Blackstone, the number one thing that decides tonight.
Well, I think it's going to be those two stars, Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. But I look at Bam Adebayo in particular, missed 10 shots in the paint. That is unbelievable for that guy. I mean, he's been dominating in the paint in this series, and I think he'll get it going. I just can't imagine that Jimmy Butler, who is as clutch a player as it is in the NBA, particularly when it comes to the fourth quarter, as we just saw in the last 5 minutes of Game 6, will be held down in this game. Gut punch or not, he gets off the mat and starts throwing haymakers.
Woody Cronin.
The undrafted four that Frank mentioned are certainly important. They combined for about 60 points in game six, but you need playoff Jimmy to show up in this moment. You need your superstar to rise to the level where he's not 5-of-21 from the floor. And frankly, they need to run their offense. They need Jimmy Butler to create their offense because they're using a seven-man rotation right now, and it's really leaving them lacking a lot in the last three games. On the other side of that, we saw what Jason Tatum did in game seven against the Philadelphia 76ers, another 51-point performance, and maybe not disappearing in the second half like he did in game six. That's necessary for Boston to move on to the finals.
Bill Plaschke, number one thing that decides tonight.
It's going to be the pressure. Boston has been here. They played four game sevens in the last two seasons. They've won five games when facing elimination this season. Jason Tatum alone has played in seven game sevens in his career. This is pressure. You look at the New York Yankees in 2004 in game seven. They just completely collapsed. They were crushed by the weight of what history was waiting for them. That's what happens to the Heat. They get crushed by the weight.
Okay. I mean, those Yankees had also had experience that you were saying Boston has. But you guys have lost me as all show. Who you got in the game, Plaschke? You've got Boston. Cordy Cronin?
Boston.
You've got Boston. Kevin Blackstone?
Heat.
Frank Isola?
I think tonight the Miami Heat, I think Jimmy Butler, as Courtney said, will find a way to get it done late. He knows how to draw fouls. He'll be the most dangerous player on the court the last 3 minutes.
You guys see the video of the Miami Heat fans at the wedding trying to watch the last 2 seconds, thinking they've won? Did you see this? Check this out. So they've got it on the phone. They celebrate before they saw Derek White's foot back. They had flags to celebrate the win at this wedding, and they didn't know it went the other way. Amazing. I'd like to see the sequel video of them finding out what really happened. We'll be back by yourself in a sec.
Some of those same fans walked out before the Ray Allen shot. Same ones.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
And now to tonight's Game 6, the two second greatest words, yada, yada, yada. Vegas-Dallas, our second series from 3-0 to 3-2. Dallas hoping to force a Game 7. Unlike the other series, margin in this series is razor thin. Three overtime games, long stretches of even hockey. In their back-from-the-dead two-game winning streak, Dallas has doubled their high-danger scoring opportunities. High danger. Is there any other kind of danger? Bill, buy or sell Dallas having the momentum now, an advantage now to tonight's Game 6.
I gave you Dallas on Friday. I'll give you Dallas today. I give you Dallas to win the series. They have a hot goalie in Ottinger. Jamie Benn comes back. And, yes, 30 high-danger scoring chances. I don't know what that means. That's the coolest stat ever, high danger scoring.
Well, if you don't know what it means, you're not getting points for it. Courtney Cronin, do you believe in momentum here?
I do, and I believe that the team with the best power play strength in this in the postseason remaining is the Dallas Stars. And outside of Jason Robertson, they were able to get Ty Dellandrea and Luke Glendening involved on offense too. Leaning on your depth is important, and that will force a Game 7.
Kevin Blackstone.
No, I don't believe it here. You know, the Golden Knights are not the Miami Heat in this situation. You're talking about the best out of the West. They haven't lost consecutive games until now since back in mid-March. So I think they're going to fight through this.
And Frank Isola.
I know. Courtney and Bill, you guys got to slow down a little bit. Still the Vegas Knights. They're the best team.
Thank you.
So Dallas has 9 giveaways in Game 5. Vegas at 24. Bruce Cassidy after the game, for some reason, has to drag Arizona into it. And he says, if we had 24 against Arizona, we're not winning the game. I think they know the mistake that they made. Clearly, they're the better team. The better team always prevails. Bet on Las Vegas.
Buy or sell two. Milwaukee Bucks naming a head coach. It's Adrian Griffin, former assistant with Toronto. Giannis reportedly endorsed him. Frank, buy or sell Milwaukee going for a first-time head coach, Adrian Griffin.
I think the safer pick is Doc Rivers or Nick Nurse, but that doesn't mean that Adrian Griffin is the wrong choice. This is a guy that's put in a lot of time as an assistant coach. A big part of it will be the relationship that he has with Giannis. But remember, and Joe Mazzulla is going through it right now, when you take over a team that's championship ready, a lot of pressure on a rookie coach, but I think Adrian Griffin can handle it.
That's a good point. But you would have gone Doc Rivers over Adrian.
No. Not necessarily. I'm just saying that's the safer choice. Same thing with Nick Nurse. But Adrian Griffin has put in the time, and good for a Seton Hall guy to get a
Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, I mean, you got five guys out there on the market right now with championship rings, but this is a bold move that has worked out before in this league with a guy like Nick Nurse. But Adrian, who I've known since his days with the Mavericks, is a great pick. He's a steady hand. He's a player's coach. He's been on the grind for 15 years as an assistant in this league, well-respected. Good for him to finally get this opportunity.
I like the fact that we're not seeing the retread on so many of these coaching hires where you have first-year head coaches going to organizations that have championship aspirations. It's happening in Boston right now. It happened with Darvin Ham with the Los Angeles Lakers this year. We don't know what kind of roster Griffin's going to inherit just yet because there are two big free agent decisions with Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton that they need to figure out in the coming months. But if he comes in and that core stays together, then you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who says that Bucks team with somebody who can make adjustments because he learned how to do it under Nick Nurse, somebody who has a lot more of that agility in games than Mike Budenholzer, okay, then that's probably a team that's going to deep in the playoffs.
But they could have hired Nick Nurse and they elect Adrian Griffin, Bill Plaschke by yourself.
This is a great hire. He's played nine seasons for five teams. He's a journeyman. He's been to the NBA Finals. That matters. Darvin Ham showed that matters with the Lakers. They respected his credibility, give him credibility for being in the league, for being a grinder, for being a great defensive mind. Okay. Players respect that. They'll respect Griffin. It's a good hire.
You see the comp being Darvin Ham, and you see that being a good thing. Because there were times when Darvin Ham's season.
He got him to the conference finals, Tony. Come on. Darvin Ham had a great season.
Fire sell three, an interesting report coming from the Las Vegas Raiders. That's when they signed Jimmy Garoppolo. Instead of signing a physical, they signed a waiver. Because Garoppolo would not have passed the physical because of a previous foot injury. This is of note now because Garoppolo had surgery in March, currently still dealing with and coming back from another injury. Courtney, what do we have here?
You have some major concerns with the Vegas Raiders because if Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt or if he can't play because he is recovering from surgery right now, your backup option is Brian Hoyer. They were sitting there at 7. Months after they inked this contract with all the addendums in it for Jimmy Garoppolo, they could have drafted a quarterback. They chose not to. I don't know. Tom Brady is a part owner now of the Las Vegas Aces. Are you guys ready to start a conversation about whether he's potentially going to have to come in and play if Jimmy Garoppolo cannot?
Bill Plaschke.
Can we please leave Tom Brady alone? Oh, my God. This conversation started like 10 seconds ago. And Tom Brady's, everybody's talking about it.
It's a hot take from Cronin. I like a hot take every now and then.
It was a dumb move by the Raiders. They never should have signed Garoppolo. Tom Brady's not coming out of retirement for that team. I know he's a part owner.
Do you see this as a team having faith in the player, even though the medicals might be mysterious?
It's crazy. I think it's crazy they had faith in him. They never should have signed him in the first place. Yeah. But Brady's not going to be walking through that door.
Yeah, Jimmy G looks good in silver and black. The question is how long will he play there? And Bill, you dismissed this Tom Brady thing. I have Kevin Blackerstone texting me all day long. At some point, Tom Brady's going to be playing quarterback for the Raiders. I agree with him. And Bill, if he played for the Rams, you would have written songs about the guy. How great is Tom Brady? You can never count him out. Now you totally dismiss it? Come on, man.
Kevin, were you texting Frank, or was he just trying to get you a jump ball?
Oh, no, seriously, I wasn't. But let me just say this. Tom Brady is not a done deal yet in terms of ownership. If he is, right, or if he was already, then that would rule him out of being able to play. So right now, if I'm the Raiders, I'm like, yo, wait, just hold on a second before we let this go through the owner meeting. Just talking 1 year.
The tinfoil caps on, and you start conspiring here.
He's right.
Flashy. Isola, off to the cookout. Cronin, Blackstone, showdown. Gotta work a little bit longer. 2 minutes.
Cookout's always better than barbecue.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify?
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Gordy Crowe to Kevin Blackstone. Good luck in showdown. The NBA reportedly investigating referee Eric Lewis over an alleged burner account on Twitter. Here are possibly the tweets in question. Courtney, what do you think is the NBA's bigger possible problem here? What was said or how it was done?
Tony, it's not like there was anything tweeted from this alleged burner account belonging to Eric Lewis that was out of pocket, but it violates one of the NBA's basic tenets. It does not want its officials commenting on officiating publicly or privately.
Hibby?
Man, internet sleuths are undefeated. What are you doing, Eric? You're one of the best refs in the entire league. You don't need to do this. Brian Colangelo had multiple burner accounts, and he had to resign.
Oh, get a new slant. Get a new slant, Kevin. Those were normal collars on his shirt. Okay, yeah. You can't do it? Can't do it. We'll split the point. Showdown two. More on officiating. This is a minor league baseball game. It's the umpire here who did not know that batter was hit by a pitch. Ump needed to make a call. Didn't make it, so the player took off his shirt and showed the mark. Hit by pitch, gets first base. Kevin, who got this call right? The umpire or the batter?
Well, of course not the umpire. You're standing there and the ball careens off of his torso into the stratosphere and you don't believe something that just happened right in front of you? Are you crazy? Get that ump out of here. Throwing?
Good for the batter providing the burden of proof to show exactly where he was hit, going above and beyond, stripping down to take his uniform off. I think it was a little excessive.
You think it was excessive? If he missed the call that wide open, you got to show him. Point Stone, showdown three, Indy 500. Joseph Newgarden winning the Indy 500. It was one headline, but it wasn't the only headline. Kyle Kirkwood had a scary trip upside down with sparks. And that wasn't the second and only headline. The third headline, this wreck led to a flying tire, and that is very dangerous. The tire made it into the parking lot and wrecked a car. Spectator Robin Matthews now has a repair bill because of this tire. Courtney, who had the most eventful Indy 500?
Tony, I was at the 500. I got to watch a race that had an epic finish. Three red flags in the final 13 laps, but it was Kyle Kirkwood being able to walk away from that wreck thanks to the aero screen around the IndyCar. Really happy.
He was there, Kevin. How can you top that?
Well, all I know is you said that Miss Matthews has a car bill because a tire flew out of the sky and hit her car. Yeah. She should have a new car or at least Firestones for the rest of her driving career. Come on.
That's the story, Cordy. I know you were there, but no, we got to get a new car for Miss Matthews. Cordy, I don't think you'd feel the same way if you didn't have a car to drive home after the end of that Indy 500. 30 seconds of FaceTime. Kevin Blackstone.
By 1865, the Confederates had turned a horse race track in Charleston, South Carolina, the Washington Racetrack and Country Club, into an internment camp where they held a few hundred Union soldiers they had captured. Didn't care for them, of course. Many of them died there, and by the time they abandoned, there must have been a couple of hundred bodies there. Freed enslaved Africans saw what happened, buried the bodies, gave those war dead a memorial marked around, and that is sports' infamous and famous birth of Memorial Day.
Thank you for the story. Thank you for your time.